In other words, sometimes if you are in a relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a family relationship, as I said, in-law relationship, blended family relationship, premarital relationship, in order for you to have a healthy relationship, sometimes it's a matter of dying to self. Sometimes you have to go back to Galatians 2:20, where it says that I am crucified with Christ.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships.
Today we start a new series dealing with relationships, and we thank the Lord for how he's working. One of the challenges as we deal with a topic such as this, how do we make it relevant to everyone? And so the way that I'm going to approach it is that we're going to deal with relationships at every level. Husband and wife, parent and child, sibling relationships, in-law, outlaw, blended family, dating relationships, premarital relationships. We are going to deal with all of it as we go through this series. And we thank God that, you know, there is some supporting structures in place as we deal with this. We had a couples class this morning, and actually the couples class is packed, and they already have people that are ready to enter into the next class whenever this one is over. Have class for the youth. So, you know, God is doing a lot, and we thank him for that. So as we deal with relationships today, we want to look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And this morning we want to talk about the value of brokenness in relationships. The value of brokenness in relationships. If you'll look at your notes today, we want to begin by talking about the meaning of brokenness in relationships. And so let's get a clear definition so that we can understand what we're talking about today. The meaning of brokenness in relationships. It is the dying to self and yielding selfish desires to others in order to have a healthy relationship. In other words, sometimes if you are in a relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a family relationship, as I said, in-law relationship, blended family relationship, premarital relationship, in order for you to have a healthy relationship, sometimes it's a matter of dying to self. Sometimes you have to go back to Galatians 2:20, where it says that I am crucified with Christ. And sometimes if you want to have a healthy relationship, the best thing you can do is allow yourself to be crucified. Now, once again, as always, we don't mean that literally, but we're talking about our attitudes and our selfish desires. Sometimes we have to submit those to others around us in order to have a healthy relationship. So as we work off of what does it mean to be broken in relationship, we need to keep this in mind. Now, this is the problem that we have in relationships is self. And so we want to look at, you know, what is a true picture of self? You know, there are many pictures of true self to be found in human nature. And as we look at the screen, we see a picture of a cobra. And this is sometimes the picture of who we really are. We try to hide it. We try to mask it. But deep down inside, we are like a cobra. We are geared and ready to strike out the minute that we are offended, the minute that someone steps on our toes, the minute we feel that things are not going our way. There's this cobra that's in all of us that just is waiting to strike back. And this is a true picture of what self is. In self, there is revenge, envy, jealousy, bitterness, hatred, pride, resentment, cynicism, impatience, irritability, meanness, and stubbornness. All those things make up self. And even for the most godly of people, I don't care who you are, the most godly of people have to deal with self. And surely Jeremiah knew what he was talking about when he said in chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Self, self. As we think about self, you know, we think about what can I get out of it? You know, what's in it for me? And in order to function in relationships, you know, we have to have this whole thing called brokenness. As we think about self, just get that picture in mind of that cobra. Get that picture because this is who we really are. As I think of a true picture of self, one of the things that comes to my mind is a child who needs a nap. If you ever see a child who needs a nap, that child is cranky, that child is irritable, that child is fussy. And, you know, sometimes we are just like that child. We are cranky, we are irritable, and we are fussy. And sometimes we just need to go somewhere and lay down and take a nap. Because if we don't, what happens is that true self is manifest. If you want to see a picture of true self, just look at a couple that's going through a bitter divorce. As they go through this bitter divorce, unless they exercise brokenness as they move through this process, you can actually bring out the worst that's in that other person because of what's in them when true self comes out. I heard the story about a man who picked up a newspaper and he read an ad that said, brand new 2009 Mercedes-Benz for sale, $500. And he thought for sure there must have been a misprint or that there was something wrong with the ad. And so he was a little hesitant, but he decided to call. So he called and he said, "I'm just checking on this ad to make sure that this is correct. A brand new 2009 Mercedes-Benz loaded for $500? And the lady on the other end said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "Something's got to be wrong with it." He said, I just can't believe it's being sold for this price." She said, "There's nothing wrong with it." He said, "Well, I'm coming right over." So he went and got his checkbook and went over to the house and looked at the Mercedes-Benz. Just like she said, mint condition. Got in it, took it for a test drive, ran well. And he still was a little confused. He said, "I just need to ask you, why are you selling this car for $500? She said, "Well, my husband ran off with the secretary to Las Vegas. And he was in Vegas and he lost all his money. And he called and told me to sell the Mercedes-Benz and sent him half of the money." A true picture of self. There's a little bit of all of us in that. And so as we look at this idea of self, you know, I heard about this lady who went to her neighbor and said, "My husband is missing. I can't find my husband. He hasn't been home for a couple of days." And so the neighbor said, "Well, let's go down to the police station and turn a report." And she went down to the police station, And she said, I want to report my man missing. My husband is missing. And the policeman said, can you give us a description? And she said, yeah, he was 35 years old, about 6'4", dark eyes and wavy hair, athletic built. He weighed about 185 pounds, soft spoken, and he was very good to children. And the neighbor next door said, your husband is 5'4", chubby, bald, has a big mouth, and is mean to your children. What are you saying? And she said, yeah, but who wants him back? A true picture of self on both ends. So we have this snake that's down inside of us. And what happens is that when we get in relationships with other people, is that our space begins to be invaded. That other people press in on our space, and as they press in on our space, we see that they push up against the true self. If you look at your notes, we see here to be in a relationship implies that someone else is involved in our life, and by nature, they are pushing in on our self space. This push into our self space can cause some of the pictures of self described that in the above block to be stirred up. That whenever people begin to press in on our space, then that's when we get irritable. When people press in on our space, then that's when we get bitter. When people press in on our space, we get impatient. We get resentful. Sometimes we just get mean when people press in to our space. The husband that doesn't pick up his clothes, and the wife gets irritable because the husband is not picking up his clothes. What is actually happening there? That husband is pressing in on her space. She has a space where she wants things nice and neat. She has a space where she wants things in order. And when her husband doesn't pick up his clothes, what happens is that her husband begins to press in on her space. And then she gets irritable. Amen. Amen. Hit a note somewhere this morning. Just like this guy, you know, when they start pressing in on your space, you start to panic. You start to freak out when people press in on your space. That mother-in-law who gets resentful because the daughter-in-law has hooked up with her son, and now he, even though the son might be still giving his mother time, yet and still he can't give it to her like he once did. And now she resents and she's bitter with the daughter-in-law because the daughter-in-law has invaded her space and has pressed up against her space. You know, some people say that, you know, and if somebody said, you know, in our relationship, you know, we just need a little space. You know, in other words, you know what they're saying? Basically what they're saying is that you are pushing in on me. As a matter of fact, you're just getting on my last nerve. That's what you're saying when they say we need a little space. You're invading my space. I need to be able to breathe. I need to be able to move. I need to be able to exist. I need to be able to have my freedom. And you are pressing in on my space. And see, that's what relationships do. Relationships, no matter what kind of relationship you are involved in, that if there's another person that's involved in that relationship, that at some point in time, they are going to press in on your space. And the only way that we can be able to deal with it, no matter how godly of a person that you are, is that we must exercise brokenness. That in order for us to be in relationship with anybody, in order for you to be in a relationship with anybody, that you have to learn the art of being broken. You have to learn the art of dying to self and dying to selfish desires. As long as it's about you, as long as it's about your needs, and as long as it's about your desires in a relationship, you're always going to have a problem because people press in on your space. There's a beautiful story in the Gospels about a lady. Many believe it was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who right before Jesus, the week that Jesus was crucified, that she went and she took a flask, an alabaster jar, and it was filled with ointment, perfume, we might say, worth over a year's worth of wages. And she went in, and I'm not sure how she did it, but she took this flask and she broke it. And as she broke it, she poured it over the body of Jesus. And as this ointment was broken, the Bible says that the house was filled with the smell of the perfume. The house was filled with the smell of the perfume. And if we are going to operate in relationships, we have to be broken. There has to be that broken so that as we are in relationships and we are broken, that there is a sweet fragrance that arises from us. That when our space is invaded and we are broken, that instead of irritability and meanness, instead of revenge and jealousy oozing out, we have the fragrance of the Holy Spirit that emanates from us. Brokenness should bring out the sweet fragrance that's in us. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. The reason that you have problems functioning in relationships at whatever level is because of your failure to be broken. Your failure to die to self and die to selfish desires. But when you learn the art of brokenness, that fragrance comes out. And everyone around you can smell the fragrance that emanates. The reality is that many of us, and I have to raise my hand, sometimes we fail to be broken. And let's be honest, when we fail to be broken, not only do we not emanate the fragrance of the Lord, but when we fail to be broken, what actually comes out of us is the stinking, rotten smell of the flesh. The stinking, rotting smell of the flesh. It is the flesh who tries to justify itself. It is the flesh who wants its own way. It is the flesh who is unyielding and unbroken in the relationship. And when we come to that point, I don't know if you've ever driven along the road where an animal has been hit and it's been laying there for a couple of days, and the stench that comes out and the rancor that comes out of that dead animal that's lying there, man, it's so gross and so putrid that it almost makes you want to throw up. It definitely makes you gag and you want to hold your breath because you just can't take the smell of that dead animal. That is the smell of unbrokenness. That is the smell of unbrokenness. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And here, Paul is letting us know. He's contrasting the work of the Spirit and the work of the flesh. And when we are unbroken, these are the things that come out of us. Look what he says in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Or somebody said, well, you know, Pastor, those aren't true of me, so you're not talking about me. Well, look, we're going to get to you. We're going to get to you. He says, variance, emulations, wrath. What is that? That is anger with the intention of revenge. Strife, that is where there is division. Seditions, that is where there are factions. Heresies, envyings, that's where we are jealous of other people. Murders, drunkenness, reveling. All these things are works of the flesh. And when we are in relationship and we fail to be broken, These are the things that emanate from us. These are the things that come out. And not that sweet aroma, that sweet fragrance of the Spirit. Look at the contrast of a broken individual that's filled with the Spirit of God. And let me say this, that you can't be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence within us, and the Holy Spirit will never leave us, but there are different fillings of the Holy Spirit. There are different levels of that we can be filled with in the Holy Spirit. And if we are unbroken, we cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in contrast to the stinking, rotting smell of the flesh, look what the scripture says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Here is a picture of a person that's broken and that allows the Spirit of God to flow through them. And I want to say this. I want to say this because I think it's important to say that the more unbroken that we are, the more the works of the flesh are manifested in our life. And the contrary is also true. The deeper that we are broken, the deeper that we are broken when we come before the Lord, and as Paul says here, they that are Christ have crucified themselves to the flesh, the more that we are broken, the deeper the channel for the Holy Spirit to flow. And this is a powerful, powerful concept. And you're going to have difficulty in any relationship, if you remain unbroken. Sometimes I look out and I see some of the sweetest ladies. I mean, they just have the sweetest spirit that you ever want to see. I mean, just a sweet, sweet spirit. And they got a husband that is a ogre. They got a husband that is a oaf. They got a husband that is ignorant, that is hard, that is mean-spirited. And I'd be scratching my head and say, how in the world can she stay in that relationship? You know why? Brokenness. Brokenness. That's the only way. That's the only way to stay in that relationship is to be broken. And as I think about that, what a testimony to the power of God when we're able to yield to ourself and selfish desires. Now, I know that there are many questions, and if you look at the bottom of the sheet, because I know that as I preach, you know, one thing I realize is that, you know, people are saying, well, you know, what about this, or what about this, or what about that? You know, sometimes we need to not be concerned about the whatabouts, and that we need to be concerned about the man, as Michael Jackson would say, in the mirror. We need to look at the person in the mirror. But I'm going to deal with your questions, because I know that there's some people sitting out there. We start talking about brokenness, especially when you're in a relationship with somebody else. There's always some questions that people have. As we look at the steps to brokenness in relationship, I'm going to ask that you would turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If we are going to function in a healthy manner in relationship.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Value of Brokenness in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Value of Brokenness in Relationships, or call us at 877-831-5060. Then you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org. You can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.